Welcome to The Right Chamber, the podcast that takes you inside the NHS to explore what really makes a hospital a hospital.
Each episode, we sit down with the people who keep healthcare moving, from doctors, nurses on the front line, to students, the support teams, administrators, corporate staff, and everyone in between. These are the voices that often go unheard, but together they form the heartbeat of our hospitals.
Our aim is simple: to share authentic stories that are accessible to the public, meaningful to NHS staff, and a reminder that healthcare is more than treatments and wards. It's a whole community working together.
So whether you're part of the NHS family or simply curious about the people behind the service, join us as we open the doors to the conversations that matter here in the Right Chamber.
Dr. Richard Aline, a palliative medicine consultant since 2014, primarily serves the community. Over the past 3 years, he's also been a well-being champion for resident doctors. His dedication in both roles earned him the prestigious Medical Directors Committed to Excellence Award in 2023.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Right Chamber podcast. I'm Jaspreet.
And I'm Victor. Thanks for joining us again. In this episode, we're exploring how senior doctors can support trainees from a well-being perspective and how we can all learn from that approach.
Our guest today introduces us to a simple yet powerful approach he uses to navigate challenging situations and to support others with compassion and clarity.
Now, while this conversation begins in the healthcare setting, the ideas we discuss reach far beyond. Hospitals, clinics, the framework is something that can help anyone, whether you're leading a team, mentoring someone, or just trying to look after your own well-being.
So wherever you're listening from, we hope you'll find practical insights, thoughtful reflections, and maybe even a bit of inspiration.
Let's get started. We've got back today a lovely guest we've had on previously. We have got Richard with us. Hello, Richard.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me back.
It's lovely to have you back. You might recognize Richard from some of our previous episode where we talked about palliative care and we talked about well-being. But for our new listeners, I'll just let Richard introduce himself just to bring you all up to speed with who he is. So please, Richard.
Yeah, so my name's Richard Aline. I'm a palliative care consultant by trade, but I also do the well-being. I'm the well-being champion for resident doctors. So I spend a lot of my time thinking about well-being and how to support people and so on, aside from palliative care. But yeah.
Brilliant. Awesome. And just, you know, right on that topic of supporting people, we're going to go in a little bit more detail on this episode today. Support is something we have mentioned on the previous episode, something that's very important. We will all need support at some point. Today we're particularly leaning on our more junior staff and the relationship with the senior staff. In what way can we approach that support that is needed for junior staff from senior?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to say is that there is an issue for resident doctors, junior doctors who work in this trust, who work in all trusts, who have their unique group of stressors and challenges and things that they really find difficult. I remember being in FY1 many, many years ago, and the way that I handled stresses and so on, completely different back then to how they are now. I've matured. I understand what's important, what isn't. As a very junior doctor, gosh, you're stepping into what feels like a lion's den at times, with pressures coming at you from left, right, and center. Yeah. You know, and which you guys know better than I do.
I remember very well.
Yeah, and it's really challenging. And I think, especially in the healthcare environment that we work in today, and I often say to resident or junior doctors when I speak to them that, look, we can't necessarily change the workload, we can't change the flow of patients that are coming in, but we can look at how you're managing it and I often talk to people about prioritization and, you know, relationships and how to hand over effectively and these sorts of tools. But I think one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was really about that relationship between, like you've said, with more senior colleagues, whether that's consultants or other senior doctors, registrars or whoever, who I just want to encourage people to look out for the more junior doctors and spot people that are in difficulty and maybe talk to the more senior doctors today in this podcast about how to provide that support.
Yeah. What's really made you think about that, that there's lack of support from seniors to juniors?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of really brilliant senior doctors in this organization. I really do. But I think a lot of the time it's probably a time issue and a pressure issue. Like, who has time when you've got so many patients to see, you've got so many things to do, then you see someone upset or something, that's just going to derail these other 100 things that you've got to get done.
The junior might not be open enough to like tell their senior that they're struggling with something.
Yeah, that's
so when
right.
you have your meetings with them and the senior asks, how have you been? He's like, well,
most of the time it's, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah. And I think, and I used to answer questions like that when I was, you know, doing my training and so on. And I think it's because you don't, as a junior doctor, you, and I know I keep on using that phrase, but I mean, junior, like younger is what I'm talking about. You don't want to display any weakness. You want to look like you're ticking all the right boxes and doing everything really well. But you may be doing that on the surface, but underneath, you know, in the bits that you can't see, that's where you could be really struggling, you know.
Yeah, and I know we'll go into some kind of more structured approach to approach this, but just on that point, it highlights the importance of the junior doctors, or well, seniors in whatever respect, making themselves available to those doctors, because if they feel safe around them, feel that they can open up more to them, then that how are you doing question can go very differently, can't it? And all of a sudden now, yeah, they're actually opening up about the struggles and the pressures that they're going through, and now you have the space to then, okay, I can take action here to help and provide support in this way. So that openness is all important.
It's awareness, isn't it? Like awareness of your juniors. Like sometimes someone may look a little bit upset. It's like taking that time to ask, are you okay? That one sentence can
that
bring
one
in tears.
Yeah.
Like out of anyone who's struggling.
Yeah.
But some might be like, well, I'm all right. But I think it's being seen. I think that's important for juniors to be felt like they are being seen.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think there's maybe two situations that we could break this into. There's probably more, but two main ones for me. One is that we have opportunities as educational supervisors or clinical supervisors, because we will be having meetings with, I keep on saying junior doctors, forgive me, but you know what I mean, the younger doctors or resident doctors or trainees. And so those interactions are really key opportunities to support people. But then your other situation is just the person that you're interacting with on a ward round, or you're seeing in a brief, there's a brief connection, you're passing each other on the ward or you're speaking to each other on the phone. So you have these sort of brief moments of connection, but then you have those more formal structured reviews, and I think both of them have got different approaches that you need to take. I mean, as an educational supervisor, that interaction is like gold, if you want to really support your supervisee, that interaction provides you with that incredible opportunity to really find out what's going on for the the person, if you're using the right questions, if you're giving time, if you're approachable, all of those things that we talked about. I think what's more difficult is perhaps when you just see someone out the corner of your eye that you think, gosh, they're not being themselves recently, or something's going on. And there's this thing called diffusion of responsibility. I don't know if you know this, I've heard of this term, but I can't remember who described the phenomena, but there was this situation where they said, if you've got someone who's being murdered, right, in a block of flats, you'd think, well, there's loads of people in this block of flats. The police are going to get called really quickly. But actually what happens is nobody calls the police because everyone thinks someone else is going to call the police. And so the idea of diffusion of responsibility is that we all think, oh, someone else is going to pick that up and do it. Whereas what I want to see happening, and I think, like I say, plenty of people do this already, but we need more of it, is when you see someone who's struggling, be the person who says, are you okay? And that's really where I sort of want to focus maybe this topic today. I've come up with this thing called the Shine.
Okay.
The Shine Toolkit. You know, with a mnemonics, it's a mnemonic, isn't it? Where each letter, I think I've got that right. Is it I always get confused with acrostics and mnemonics.
But, mnemonics and, acronyms.
Acronyms, oh yeah. Maybe it's an acronym. But whatever it is, like there's loads of them, and we learn them all the way through medical school, don't we? And then we promptly forget them. So even though I've come up with this one, I'm not expecting anyone to remember it, but it's just an interesting, I think it's a structured way of thinking about it. So would it be all right if I take you through?
Yes, absolutely. Please.
If I take you through shine, the idea is, you know, the word shine is saying, how is it that we help our resident doctors, our junior doctors, as seniors, to shine at work? So the first thing, and forgive me for having it on my laptop here, but the first thing is to spot it, spot someone who's struggling with something. I don't know. I mean, what do you think might be the telltale signs that somebody's struggling?
They might be a little bit more quieter on the ward round.
Even
like appearances sometimes.
Hmm.
Someone who doesn't look well put together all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're normally known to have your hair
well dressed, olden hair done,
everything, but then you can usually kind of spot if something isn't.
But a lot of people just brush it off, like, I'm just not feeling well, and then they take it.
And they take it probably because they don't want to open a can of worms.
Yes.
Mm.
It's like, okay, they've said they're okay, I can. That's fine.
Or like, you hear, are you unwell? Like, no. It's just, but then no one prompts it further to be like, well, you don't look like yourself.
Yeah.
Or even in the work as well, like, you know, someone who's usually really on it, and but now they're kind of maybe a bit slow, or making forgetting things,
or they're irritable. I think it can come out like that, and it can just be really obvious that they're crying. It can be things like that, can't it? And you think to yourself, oh, I don't know what to do now. They're crying. I'm not very good when people are crying. But either way, the first thing is to spot it and ask yourself, is this different from normal? And then, so that's S. I'm going to go through the acronym. It's an acronym, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I think. Forgive me, everyone who's listening, who's going, it's not an acronym, it's an acrostic. Or, I can't remember what it is.
We'll get it in the comments.
Yeah, that's right. So the next thing is to hear. Now, these might be a bit tenuous, but I think hearing someone, so spotting it and then hearing, listening, making yourself available to hear and listen. Maybe that's what this one's about. Because, like we've said, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Phew, good, I'm going to walk away. Are you sure? You've not seemed yourself just recently. So allowing yourself as a senior doctor to just take a moment. And by the way, this whole thing that I'm talking about here doesn't take long. I'm talking a matter of minutes here to this whole shine thing. it doesn't have to, this isn't an hour long conversation. This is meant to be a 5 minute or 7 minute sort of toolkit thing. But being available just for a moment to actually hear. So when someone says, yes, I'm fine, they will say it with a tone of voice. They will say it with a look about them. And it's like, are you actually hearing what's going on here? Are you hearing what the undertone is, or what the real communication is? And it might be subtle, but I often think that the next letter is I, which is inquire. It's like, are you really okay? Like, that, what a good follow-up question that is.
It is a very, very common thing that you hear. It's like, you know, when you receive a text message and it's like, oh, how are you? And that how are you, for a lot of times, is just taken as a greeting rather than an actual...
It's not a real question.
A real question where someone actually is asking how you are. And it can be seen as a similar thing, even if you're talking to someone on the ward, perhaps, and just say, oh, are you okay? That might just be, you know, that, oh yeah, I'm fine, might just be their response to the, oh yeah, they're just greeting me, rather than actually seeking to help me see if I am actually okay. So I think that next letter of inquiring is very important, because then it breaks past that first.
Yeah, it's the second question.
It's the second question.
It's the second question.
That then causes, oh, okay, this is different. They actually, someone's caring.
Someone cares, yeah.
Yeah.
Like just that. And sometimes you can tell in that second answer when their voice changes as well. Then they know that, okay,
yeah,
there is something wrong.
I think the maybe the place that you do the inquiry is important as well. Because if I asked you now in front of everybody and there's camera rolling, you might answer in a certain way. Whereas actually, if I took you aside and said, is everything okay? So there is something about the environment and the setup of the question, a bit like we do with breaking bad news in palliative care. We think hugely about the setup and the context. So if you're asking somebody on a busy ward round and there's like six people all around the bed and the patient's there, and you ask somebody, are they okay? They're probably going to say, yep, absolutely fine. But it's that taking a moment to just step aside, finding that quiet place, and then saying, are you sure you're okay? You don't seem yourself. What's been happening for you recently?
Yeah.
And I think even in how you say that, some people avoid having these conversations because it's going to take an hour or so. When you spot that someone's got this issue,
yeah,
instead of worrying, gosh, it's going to be another hour, you can at least be like, okay, spotted a problem. How about we set up a time to like at least have a conversation, rather than be like, you sure you're okay? And then they say, yeah. And then just walk off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Do you want to have a conversation?
Yeah. It doesn't have to happen right there.
But that's rare sometimes to like.
Yeah.
Because the other person feels like, well, I don't want to be a nuisance. But if someone offers their time.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a little bit more welcoming.
And I often think about sort of cost benefit in terms of time, right? So if you do a small intervention here, it feels like it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you try and do something else. You've got 1,000 jobs to do. But if you do a small investment here and that supports this doctor, who then is going to be able to work more effectively on your ward, get more jobs done, and you essentially rehabilitate or support that person back to work in a more effective way, then on a bigger scale, you save time. Whereas if you just let something go and it develops and that person ends up being off sick and so on, that might end up having an impact on you as the senior doctor, who now has to find somebody to cover that role or get someone else to do the job that person was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And need someone else.
Care as well.
Yeah. Patient care is
patient care. You know, seeing someone who is clearly kind of flustered, they're stressed, maybe you've already spotted them miss some small minor things and you've talked about it. Just taking that time to have that conversation and kind of, take a step back a little bit.
Yeah.
That might then prevent a much bigger issue.
It pays off. Pays off.
So yeah, you're might have a downstream influence on time and effectiveness, but then also it's improved, you know, patient care as well.
I'll never forget when I was I would have been, I can't remember, I'd have been qualified for maybe 2 years. I was working at A&E in Selly Oak when there was an A&E there, and Pete Doyle was there actually, and Javed Kayani, he was the boss at the time, who you won't remember, but he I'll never forget. I just felt really ill. I was really ill that day. I took some cocodamol because I had a really bad headache, and that made me feel really unwell. And I went and lay down for 10 minutes, but felt guilty about it because, you know, a lot of doctors feel like I've just got to push through and keep on going. Anyway, I was really feeling bad, and Mr. Kiani spotted this, and he was like, "Richard, what's wrong with you?" And he was really thoughtful. He was like, "Richard, go home." Right. And he sent me home, and he just noticed that I was struggling, and he intervened, and I wasn't going to go off, but he told me that I was going to go off. And I remember coming back to work the next day or 2 days later and feeling like, do you know what? I want to give more to the department now. I felt like you've really cared for me. I want to give.
You've been supported.
Yeah. So it's like this payoff thing is really, I think, can be quite powerful. And I remember as a consultant, because remember, this isn't just about junior doctors. I think we need to look after each other as senior doctors as well. And I think when my mum was poorly about 5 years ago and was sort of coming to the end of her life, and I just felt I need to keep on working. I need to be back at work. And my line manager, who was brilliant, she kind of said to me, "Richard, you need to have the permission. Like, someone needs to say to you, you need to have the permission, Richard, to be off at the moment, because you're not coping." And I wasn't coping. I just didn't want to face that. And actually, when I took the time off, and it was so healthy, and when I came back, I was just like, I feel like I want to give more to the department. So I'm just saying, you know, that they were quite, that was a big thing, you know, at the time. But even for little things that people are going through, I think if we are supportive and people feel supported, then I think they will give back more. And that's the next letter, actually. N in SHINE stands for nurture.
Mm.
And I think it's not just about spotting it or hearing or the inquiry, but it's like, this is all nurturing. Like, so junior doctors or resident doctors, they are like, you know, seeds that, or saplings that you need to support and help grow. And a sapling, when it's growing, you need to cultivate the soil, you need to give it water, you need to give it food, you need to give it space, oxygen, sunlight, all of these things, all of these elements go into it. And as senior doctors, if we want our junior staff to develop and grow and become and to flourish, then we need to nurture them. And I think this is part of that. So when a sapling is wilting, sometimes you need to put a little stick there to support it up,
and
help its leaves port to the, I know we're getting very metaphorical here, but you know what I mean? Nurturing is really important. And I think nurturing, using words like, you know what, I know you're feeling bad about that, but I think you handled that quite well. You know, words of support are so important. It doesn't take long to give you a word of support. Thank you for your work today.
I think that's very, very important. You know, when you've had a long day, and then your registrar or consultant says, "You did well today." Even if it's your normal job,
Gosh, you do this every day. It lifts you, doesn't it?
You go home feeling so happy. You've had such a hard day. You know it's your job. This is expected of you. But when just someone says, "You did really well." Nothing, you didn't do anything extraordinary, but they just say, "You did really well." You go home feeling so relaxed and so happy.
"Thank you for your hard work. You've done that really well. That was a really difficult thing that you faced, and I think you handled it really well." You know, those sorts of things, they cost us as senior doctors nothing. I'll tell you what we're good at. We're good at telling people how they didn't do well and how badly they've done. I love the fact that we've got that the Graytex system here.
Yeah.
So alongside Datex, we've got Graytex, which is where you can, you know, officially tell someone how well they've done and sort of make it known. I think that's so good. That's so healthy.
Yeah.
And anyone who's had a Graytex, whether you're a consultant or whether you're an FY1, like it feels great to do that. But like this, this nurturing idea, building people's confidence with just small words of affirmation and feedback, it costs nothing but has such a powerful effect. Because we all want to feel seen, and I think one of the challenges is that we as a young doctor, you can just end up feeling like you're in a sea of chaos and so on, and you're not seen. But when someone sees you, like that spotting that as we started this shine thing, when somebody sees you, acknowledges what you're going through, or tells you what you've done is good, nurtures you, that's really powerful.
No, no, someone might go home and think they're going to quit today, tomorrow.
Yeah.
But just you checking in on them, it might change their mind. Like, it's fine. NHS is all right. I'll come back. Just checking in on people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Do you want to know what the E stands for?
Yes.
What can you guess what it stands for? So we've done spot. We've done here. Inquire.
Nurture.
Shall I tell you what the E stands for? It's really for, again, for the senior doctors, it's escalate. Because, like I said, this Shine intervention or this Shine toolkit is not about having that hour-long meeting when you're on the ward. It's spotting there's an issue, and it's knowing how to acknowledge it and name it and be supportive, but then be able to also get on with all the other jobs that you need to do. And so to do that, you need to escalate. And that escalation could either be, like you said earlier, let's arrange a time to meet up. So that could be escalation, or it could be that you have to escalate to a different sort of professional line of support, like occupational health, or sometimes to the professional support unit or from the deanery or wherever it is, but just getting that escalation, getting that additional support, going to the educational supervisor if you're not the educational supervisor. Sometimes it might be saying, Richard, I have lots of consultants getting in touch with me saying, well, could you meet up with this doctor who's having a hard time at the moment? So that's fine as well. And the best approaches, I think, are often combined approaches. Obviously, confidentiality and et cetera is hugely important when someone's struggling, because they won't want everyone to know what's going on. But getting the right people to be involved and to support as a team is really important. So it's not just you've asked the question, and I think the problem is you might feel, now I've got to sort of do everything.
Yeah.
But actually there is a support network.
Yeah.
Or if you don't have time, like escalate to their supervisor and say, look, I think this person might need a little bit more attention. Yeah. Not in a negative way, but can we just check on this person?
Yeah, or encourage them as well. Because sometimes, you know, in the busyness of ward life and everything, you just sometimes forget that all these people are actually there and available to help you. And sometimes you just need that little reminder, oh yeah, I can actually drop them an email and they'll probably arrange a meeting with me, or depending on the relationship you have with them, you can just send them a message and they can probably arrange to meet you sooner. And
that's,
you can
right.
talk things through. But yeah, so it could either, you know, that escalation, just as you said, could be from yourself to arrange a time to meet them later over a coffee or something like that, talk things through properly. Or if you feel, actually, I think someone who's more trained would be more appropriate to deal with this, you can just signpost them and just remind them that there are these people available to help you.
So I think if you were to use the Shine toolkit and you saw someone on the ward who looked, you know, you're spotting them and you thought, gosh, they don't look themselves or something's going on with that person. I don't think that it's going to, that intervention has to take long at all. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Yeah.
It might end up taking 10 minutes. I don't know. But it doesn't have to be the rest of your day. I think there's enough people in this organization, because I think this organization's great at providing support, actually. And there's enough people in this organization to surround this person or help in the appropriate way. Yeah. And help you as the consultant or as the senior doctor. You might be like, I just don't know what to do. I'm out of my depth here. There will be someone who knows how to
even
help.
When you have like the formal ARCPs, I think, or like the check-ins, I feel like juniors may be a little bit reluctant to really say how they are. Maybe because there is a section where they say, how are you? Like, how are you feeling or something? Mm. Inquire about it a little bit further rather than just take their answer for it and be like, you sure?
Yeah.
Like, how has your year been? How have the last few months been? How's your rotation? Have you struggled with anything? Rather than just take that, it's been fine. Yeah. And then go on.
Yeah.
Like, take a little bit more time.
Yeah. It works in both kind of scenarios, doesn't it? It does work in that formal structured meeting, but then also in that just, you know, on the ward.
Wards.
Just you spot something, yeah, hear them out, inquire a bit further. You're there as a nurturing senior to them, and point them in the right direction, or maybe there's something you can do. And just as you said, when you think about that Shine acronym that way, it's something that doesn't actually take too long.
I think everyone will remember that. Let your juniors shine.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, good. Do you like it?
I like it. Oh, I like it for sure.
Acronyms.
Good.
I like it for sure. When we're talking about this senior relationship, yes, it can be, you know, consultant to registrars to residents, but also as clinical teaching fellow with my teaching hat on, also medical students on the wards. You know, it could be an F1, F2, and you see that medical student and you can apply the same kind of concept to it and hear them out. You know, if you spot something, inquire a little bit, nurture, and there'll be support available for them as well. So it does work at every level.
Yeah. And also peer to peer as well. So
medics, like even like, you know, if you see like a nurse or HCA looking not themselves, takes 2 seconds to ask. You know,
it's all about caring for each other, isn't it? At the end of the day, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about basics here. Do you care for the person that you're talking to or the person that's over there? And I think that's the culture of, I mean, the culture of this organization is, you know, care and compassion. That's what we're aiming for. We want this to be an organization where we are caring and compassionate for our patients, but also for each other.
Absolutely.
But you know, everyone's rushed, pushed, under pressure, stressed. You can see where it's creaking and where the cracks are. And that's the challenge. So that's why I'm sort of emphasizing perhaps how quick this intervention could be.
That has been a very lovely conversation.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Thank you again for coming. It's always a joy having you.
Anytime.
We'll have you back again.
Thank you.
All right. So thank you all for sticking with us all through this episode. Now you've all got a new tool in your pocket, Shine, to use. And yeah, we will look forward to seeing you on the next one.
Remember to stay connected with us on social media. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS and subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media, for more exclusive content and updates. Thanks for tuning in to the Right Chamber podcast. Until next time.